Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Amazing new technology that they've trialled at the Royal Melbourne Hospital. Two Aussie patients are the first in the world to receive this new brain implant called Stentrode. And it basically allows them, Hutsy, to control computers using their thoughts. They can operate computers with their mind, and this is all done without having to undergo brain surgery.
Wow. So we're talking like, you know, Skynet. We're talking about Lawnmower Man, Electric Dreams sort of stuff.
I don't know if it's at that level yet.
Okay.
Like when I heard about this technology, my first thought was, and this is how basic I am, no more searching through the couch cushions to find the TV remote.
Small things.
I thought I'll be able to change the channel with my mind, but obviously it has much bigger applications. The two patients that are undergoing this trial, they have motor neuron disease, which is probably the worst of all the diseases. You are literally trapped inside your body. You can't do anything. MND is just, you wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy.
No.
But these people now are undergoing this trial. They're hoping that the brain implant will allow them to do things like, you know, just daily tasks like texting, sending emails, even online shopping and banking. Like you can use a computer to have everything delivered to you now. Like, and we've seen that, you know, your access to the outside world using computer technology is even more prevalent now with COVID. Like, you know, they've really stepped things up with, you know, home deliveries and things like that.
So it's all the activities that us lazy folk take for granted.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. So just amazing stuff. Although online banking, I don't know how that's going to go using my mind to do that. On the one side, I'm like, well, that's great because hopefully the computer can just scan the password in the deep recesses of my mind that I can never access when I try to think of the password.
Yeah, mine's buried deep behind Simpsons quotes and all sorts of useless information
that's
about the 90s.
The firewall of Simpsons quotes in your mind. The other problem is it's going to be hard to convince the computer that I'm not a robot when I've got some cybernetic computer controlling device in my brain.
Yeah.
But just amazing technology being developed here in Australia. I don't know. I saw that story and just blew my mind. And if it helps people with MND, then, you know, it's amazing. And it's good as well that they've used existing technology to develop this new brain implant.
Cool.
Apparently, women have had this technology in their mind for years, mainly wives. They use it to control their husbands. So, yeah, I'm going to have the locks changed when I get home tonight, but that's all right.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
As much as I love 90s nostalgia, I really have to try and resist the urge, if I ever have a child and bring one of those into this world, we'll see how that goes, to resist the urge to name it off something of a TV show that I've seen and fallen in love with over the years.
Right.
Like Ninja Turtles, Donatello, Leonardo. It's like,
let me introduce you to Baby Splinter.
That's exactly right.
Or as we call
Shredder.
Him, Little Rat Face.
Or Baby Shredder. As much as that is appealing, I try to think I'd like to stay away and have more common sense than that to name my child after something off a TV show. Obviously, that same common sense hasn't been enforced over in the US because, as it turns out, well, one particular couple seemed to be huge fans of this particular cartoon show.
It's got a lot of fans.
Does? You think, okay, Pokemon, you've got Ash, you've got Misty, you've got Brock, got some pretty cool names. Jesse is one of the Team Rockets and Jane, I think, as well. They seem like cool names, but they went the other way with the Pokemon.
They sort of ignored the human characters of the show sounds of it.
They ignored the human characters of the show. So obviously this woman is saying that her boyfriend was a massive fan of Pokemon back in the day, and weren't we all?
Mm.
You know, she named the child Pika after Pikachu. P-I-K-A.
Well, you know, he is the most adorable of the Pokemon, so if you're going to name your cute baby after a Pokemon, Pikachu's a good one. You know, if you call the kid Charizard, you're like, what did I do to deserve this? Why, Mum and Dad, did you call me Squirtle? I know when I'm a baby, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm squirting all over the
Squirtle
place.
The turtle.
But when I'm growing up, it's hard to, like, be taken seriously. If I go for a bank loan and go, now, Mr. Squirtle. you want to get a mortgage? Is this right?
Yeah. Especially the fact that obviously, you know, the cards have become so successful. Maybe this guy is just like, the cards got away. They cost like, you know, these days they're going for like 50, 100,000, some of these cards.
Yeah,
but this baby's going to actually cost the money. So I don't know if maybe he's a bit too upset from losing his Pokemon card collection and just wants to try and regather some of that nostalgia of when Pokemon was at its biggest peak as well. But
yeah, I don't think babies go up in value. I think they end up costing you money in the long run.
Way. great.
But, yeah, worth it, of course.
And obviously the sister of this woman straight away just burst out laughing when she heard it. She thought it was a joke. And then, obviously, the mother and the father took offence because they're like, no, we're serious. And she's just like, you can't be serious, right? You named your baby after a Pokemon. And even so, there's like nearly 500 Pokemon to choose from, and that was the one that
and
you chose.
And that's the one they settled on, yeah. And they didn't even go for the full Pikachu.
No, just the Pika.
They just went for the Pika.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they did that because of coronavirus, and they went, if the kid has to get around saying, oh, my name's Pikachu, everyone will think he's sneezing all the time. It's like, oh, you got COVID? What's going on?
Everyone's got the same idea that I was talking about earlier about why couldn't you just name it the kid Ash? You know, that could be a boy or a girl.
That one
sort of works as well. Yeah. And then others have been quick to point out on social media that in certain countries it means other things. Like just English, Pika is just people that have like an anxiety disorder that end up eating non-food items.
Oh, right. I thought it might have been that pervert that is always looking over the back fence going, like, what's going on there? Oh, that's Pika over there.
That's the neighbour on Home Improvement. What's his name?
Yeah, Wilson.
Wilson. It's that guy. Yeah, Pika's an actual, you know, anxiety condition where I've seen like a strange obsession where people are eating bits of sponge and things, like people eating
weird sort of
stuff. But then it goes one step further because in different countries it means something a lot worse. So in Brazil, it actually means a man's privates, Pika, P-I-K-A. That's not going to work out well. So obviously, once the world goes back to normal after the coronavirus, I really hope this family doesn't like to travel. Because just imagine they're walking down the main street of Brazil and all of a sudden, you know, little Pika gets excited and starts yelling out this sort of stuff.
Pika, Pika!
you just want to hope it's not a red light district. That's all I'm going to say.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Well, you'll see a lot of kids out and about on Saturday for Halloween. You'll also see a lot of school kids out tomorrow wearing red because it is Day for Daniel. It's an important day here in Australia now. I've been going for quite a while. Started by Denise and Bruce Morecambe, who sadly lost their 13-year-old son, Daniel, back in 2003 when he was abducted. So they turned that negative into a positive by trying to raise awareness every year about child safety and getting a whole bunch of people to wear red and donate towards the Daniel Morecambe Foundation. And so we thought to find out what's happening here on the far south coast tomorrow for Day for Daniel, we'd catch up with local ambassador Melissa Puglio. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you going?
Good.
Excellent.
I feel like we don't catch up enough. We always just chat once a year around Day for Daniel, but it is such an important cause, isn't it, Mel?
Oh, it is. And I think that child safety is something that all the schools in the Bega Valley are focused on every day. But Day for Daniel just is that extra reminder and, you know, some of the messages around sort of keeping kids safe and kids on how to keep themselves safe, you know, they do seem to think in a bit more around those conversations around Daniel, how, you know, he was just an ordinary boy just like them. These things can happen. And just, you know, giving them tools and ways that they can make sure that they are always safe when they're out and about and, you know, just having that higher level of awareness. It's really important.
Yeah, it's great that you guys are making people aware of this. When I was growing up in the 1990s, all we had was ads about safety houses in New South Wales.
Our house was a safety house.
And then it seemed like for a while after that, it's sort of like the message has sort of been lost, but it's great you guys are really reinforcing this message now.
Well, I mean, Bruce and Denise Morecambe have just worked tirelessly, just trying to do everything that they can to make sure that what happened to Daniel doesn't happen to other children. And, you know, they also have a very big part of the Daniel Morecambe Foundation is around supporting children of crime and, you know, children who have been hurt. And they also really advocate very strongly for child safety from a legal point of view. So they really have worked so tirelessly just to make sure that Australia, you know, has this extra awareness in, you know, and when the kids have, you know, get dressed in red, which was the colour of the T-shirt that Daniel was wearing when he was abducted, parents can have these conversations with their kids as well. I think it's also important for parents to have a really good awareness, especially here on the Sapphire Coast where we actually feel really, really safe, which we are, you know, very safe. But you can get a little bit sort of laid back and casual. And, you know, we have a lot of people coming into the region, visitors and things like that. So, I mean, I think it's really good for the kids, you know, just to have that little bit of extra awareness.
Definitely. Yeah, you don't want to get complacent and it just doesn't hurt to reinforce those important lessons about child safety. And a lot of people are getting involved in different ways for Daniel. I know Denise and Bruce themselves are trying to raise some money. They've got a goal of $10,000 at the moment. They've been doing a lot of walking. But here on the far south coast, what are we doing locally? How can people get involved, Melissa?
Well, we're a little bit restricted. Normally, I go into the schools with New South Wales Police youth liaison officers. Unfortunately, this year we can't do that, but a lot of the schools are still having Day for Daniel, and so they have a gold coin donation. And what is happening this year is that if schools put their donations into the bank before the 30th of November, they'll go into a draw to have a safety presentation from Bruce and Denise in their school.
Wow.
I would be so over the moon if it was one of the Bega Valley schools. Like, I just think that would be amazing. They used to holiday at Marimbula and Pambula.
Oh, okay.
And, well, Denise has been coming here since the 70s when she was growing up. Her family used to bring her to Marimbula, but they also holidayed here with Daniel when he was a baby. So Marimbula is a very special place to the Morecambes, and they really appreciate how much effort everybody down here goes to. I'd also like to give a special shout-out to Sapphire Coast Bus Lines. You'll see all the bus drivers wearing red. They have a fundraising tin at their office, and so they have participated in Day for Daniel every year for a long time. So, and because our bus drivers are such an important part of our kids' lives, I think that's, it's always really great to see the bus drivers wearing red and supporting child safety.
For sure. And, I mean, just wearing red is a great way to support. But, yeah, if you can also lend a gold coin or two towards the Daniel Morecambe Foundation and help raise more awareness about child safety, I'm sure Bruce, Denise and every other mum and dad in Australia would really appreciate that. So, and a big thanks to you as well, Melissa. Every year you're tireless in helping out with Day for Daniel. So thanks again for catching up with us today, and hope you get a good turnout tomorrow.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for your support.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsey.
Well, a lot of Victorians were excited recently being told to finally get on the beers by their almighty leader, Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews.
Mm.
And when he tells you to get on the beers, you go, okay, it's you know, he's told us to get on the beers.
Well, he told us the opposite earlier in the year COVID first broke. He was saying, no one should be going out and getting on the beers.
Mm.
And then he was asked Monday, can we do it now, please? And he gave it the thumbs up.
He did. It seems like a lot of Melburnians, apart from actually going out and about now, some of them are just keen to get on the beers when it comes to online shopping, because sometimes you see a deal. I know for me, when I go into a bottle shop, I always hover around the counter if I've got to buy a beer when I'm in between home brews, because I like to see what stuff's been marked down. And I get really excited because it's like nearly out of date. And it's like, oh, it's going to be out of date in like a week. And I'm like, a week? It'll be done by then. I don't have to worry about waiting around for a week.
So you're looking for the quick sale alcohol.
Quick sale
you're
alcohol.
The guy that hovers around that trolley that they've got in the middle of the Liquorland at Bega outside Coles there. And there's like this trolley just with the markdown specials.
The one that's there at the free sample stand. It's like, please, can I have another?
Are you sure it's a free sample stand?
I don't know. That's like,
I don't know. That's why I keep getting kicked out of liquor stores.
Yeah.
I thought it was free samples.
Yeah, but Melburnians online, a lot of other people online as well, it seems like it was a deal too good to be true. Probably because it was. It looks like there was a bit of an error on the Liquorland website, basically advertising a beer called Mountain Goat Steam Ale, which is usually around $59 a case. So it's a bit more special, a bit of a pinky up sort of a finger, I guess. It was online there for sale for $17.50.
That's pretty good for a craft beer.
For 24 beers for $17.50. That's almost homebrew prices to make a decent homebrew. So obviously people piggybacked on this straight away, didn't they? I'm talking about people went overboard, some of them.
They went crazy like it was an Aldi special buy, just like
exactly
climbing
right
over each other to get a carton of this stuff.
Someone took a screenshot of their phone and they tried to buy 10 cases of it.
Oh, God.
So $175. So I'm like, I don't know if that's maybe the best idea as well. But obviously, they identified this was a glitch, Liquorland, and they said, sorry, guys, we can't actually honour this deal. And people are blowing up about it, going, oh, you know, you guys, you're a bunch of tight asses and being stingy.
Yeah. I mean, they should give it, like, for the Melburnians, they should give it to them at that price. They've suffered enough. Like, this is like, if this is like the little ray of sunshine for them, let them have some cheap beers.
Yeah.
This is not fair.
Except they would have been too much, you know, in the red when it comes to that, because basically, I think the tax on a case of beer is like $20-something straight off the bat.
Right.
So that's why, that's where half the money even comes from. So obviously, they were like, sorry, guys, no can do, which made them quite unpopular online. People are saying, you guys ripped us off and all this sort of stuff, and, you know, you should honour the price you're doing it for. People are saying no. So obviously, you know, $17.50 for a case of beer, that's a little bit far-fetched. That's not going to happen.
Too cheap.
Yeah, they've since fixed this little glitch, so people are still angry about the whole sale of things, blaming computers, as we always do with this whole thing. But one person did manage, though, to clean up and get a few cases of the beer before they fixed up the malfunction, and police are still investigating. Matter of fact, it's this guy.
You're out there somewhere, Beer Baron, and I'll find you.
No, you won't.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
School kids, they also have to do PE.
Yeah, you don't sound like you enjoyed PE much at school.
My most hated subject. It's compulsory sport. And I can understand, especially now, it's important to get the kids up, get them moving, get the blood pumping, you know, and develop, like, social skills as well. Yep. Like, I understand the upside of PE. I had to teach PE when I was working as a teacher for a while. But when I was a student, man, I hated it. I would do anything. Fake heart attacks. Yep. You know, I wouldn't call in a bomb hoax like what's going on now at some of these schools in New South Wales. But I would do anything to get out of PE.
I used to love PE growing up. But there was one particular time when I moved to a school when I was in year 10 where I didn't like PE for a little while. Because when I turned up to this school, there was an assessment for year 10. And to pass, we had to do dancing.
Oh, okay. There's nothing wrong with dancing. Mick Wayman's dancing at the moment.
I was not a fan of this whatsoever. And then basically nobody wanted to do it. All the boys didn't want to do it for obvious reasons. And the teacher was like, well, if you don't want to participate in this assessment task, you're going to need a doctor's note. And everyone's like, oh, that's impossible. There's no way I could ever get a doctor's note. Now you're an adult. You're like, doctor's note? Give me 5 minutes.
That's it. Well, one kid on the Gold Coast is definitely going to get a doctor's note. Unfortunately, he got it at the wrong time. It was on the other side of his PE lesson because it was probably the worst PE lesson ever for this poor kid.
A 12-year-old school student is in hospital after being impaled in the groin by a javelin during a PE class. The accident happened shortly before 11 this morning at St Stephen's College in Coomera. Firefighters were called to help remove the object.
I'm like, if I was that kid, I'm like, why did you call the firefighters? Why didn't you call an ambulance?
It's not a cat stuck up a tree.
Unless a cat came and perched on the javelin while it was... Oh, man, if there's one place you don't want a javelin, it's in the groin. The kid is in a stable condition. They managed to remove it safely. He's okay. So... But, man,
that's
I'm
a sick,
like,
note for life.
Oh, you'd be getting out of PE class for the rest of your days on that one. Although, in saying that, javelin was the one that I was happy to do.
Oh, really?
At school. Because it was the one where I saw practical applications for it. Like hurdles, I'm like, well, unless I'm trying to dodge a train ticket and just jumping over the turnstile at a train station, why am I doing hurdles? Mm. You know? But javelin, I'm like, if the time comes where I have to hunt for my own food, I'm going to have to know how to chuck a spear. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go, oh, I'm out to hunt some food, no one goes, oh, hand me the discus. I'm going to go and hunt some kangaroo or something. You're going to use a spear. So javelin would come in handy.
Life skills.
Archery is the same. Like, I loved archery.
Fantastic.
So those types of things. But otherwise, pole vault, I'm like, what am I going to... Unless I have to vault over a pit of lava, I really don't see the real-world applications of doing this.
I feel like that with a high jump as well. I'm like, they need to have like a logical Olympics where people just run up to the high jump and just dive underneath through and go, this is the logical way to
do things.
That's
it. Hand me my medal. So, this poor kid, he's okay now though, thankfully. But, you know, see, for me, I never got the point of PE. And now after hearing this story, I'm glad I never got the point in PE.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.